Church Life Today is a production of Spoke Street Media and the McGrath Institute for Church Life at the University of Notre Dame, and is brought to you in part by Notre Dame Federal Credit Union and our listeners.
How would an authentically Catholic feminism both dialogue with and meaningfully differ from secular feminism? This is the focus of a new program from the Catholic Woman. The program is called Cultivating Catholic Feminism. It seeks to establish a framework for Catholic feminism through lesson and story, and from that framework, to engage with secular feminism on a range of important topics. Today, I welcome to the show two guests to talk about this program's aims, its approach, and its timeliness. Corinne Starcinic is founder and executive director of The Catholic Woman, an online-based nonprofit that is dedicated to sharing stories and wisdom from Catholic women to affirm the goodness, unrepeatability, and dignity of every woman for the redemption of humankind and the Church. Abigail Favale is Dean of Humanities at George Fox University. She wrote and presents the 21 video lessons included in Cultivating Catholic Feminism. She is otherwise the author of Into the Deep, An Unlikely Catholic Conversion, and of the forthcoming book, The Genesis of Gender, from Ignatius Press. As for me, I'm Leonard DiLorenzo. This is Church Life Today, a production of the McGrath Institute for Church Life and the Spoke Street Media Network. I'm glad you're here. Corinne, Abigail, welcome to the show.
Hey there. Glad to be here.
And me too. Thanks so much.
Corinne, if you don't mind, I'd like to start with you and just ask you, you know, you launched Catholic Woman back in 2017, and you've reached tens of thousands of people now through your work. So I'd love to hear from you something about your desire, your passion for this work. In other words, why did you create The Catholic Woman?
Yeah, so the idea for The Catholic Woman first kind of came when I was in undergrad studying theology, and I encountered John Paul II's writings on women and Sister Prudence Allen's writings on women and on John Paul II's writings on women. And Sister Prudence Allen wrote this incredible trilogy called The Concept of Woman, which I highly recommend looking into for anyone who's interested. But a lot of their ideas just about women having sort of this natural feminine genius, this disposition to carry life, their ideas on this and like how this is needed in all different aspects of society. I think that was really inspiring for me, just like on a personal level, and to the point that I really wanted to create a space online that kind of illustrated the many different ways women are living this out. So we've been doing that over the past 5 years. You know, we've posted hundreds of personal letter styled essays, like new letters from new women every single week, just kind of getting into these questions about, you know, like, what does it mean to be a woman today in the church? Like, what does it mean to belong to the church as a woman? And, you know, these letters and documentaries and interviews have kind of centered on personal experiences, but we've always wanted to do basically like create a resource or a program that would like get into like the theological meat behind all of this. Like, where is this mission? Where are these ideas coming from? Why is this even important? And that is how Cultivating Catholic Feminism came to be, which has been just like a dream project to work on. I'm so excited to see finally come out.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the sort of conception of Cultivating Catholic Feminism. So this really, really impressive, high quality program filled with, I think it's 21 video lessons. Plus you brought in, like you were talking about, these personal stories from women. That's been sort of your hallmark at The Catholic Woman from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Those mini documentaries are in there too. So tell us about the conception of this project and maybe who you're hoping to reach and what you want to give to the people you're reaching.
Yeah. So, I mean, this project too, like really came out of like the inspiration for it came, I think, from these writings and from John Paul II's just like repeated call for women to create a new feminism. And, you know, I had this like dream to create something, I think like a theological resource that really gets into like what this means. And I never knew who would write it. Like, I just didn't know anyone who I thought could do like a good basic presentation of like these ideas about femininity and masculinity and feminism. And then a few years ago, I think it was in 2019, my friend Emily, who is also on our board, sent me an interview with Abby. And I was so excited. And like, I found your archive. Abby, I know you know the story, but like, I found your archive of essays on Church Life Journal and just was like obsessed and just like truly so excited. So like a few months later, I just sat down at a coffee shop and like basically just wrote up the idea for this program, kind of thinking like, I'm going to find a way to like get her to like be a part of this because like, I don't know who else is like going to do this program, like do the educational content for this program. So yeah, that's how the idea sort of started. And then we were able to get some funding and then talked to Abby, I think in January of 2020, if that's right. And then we went from there. So,
awesome. Well, Abby, that brings us, I think, sort of naturally to you. So you crafted the lessons for this program, Cultivating Catholic Feminism. You teach these lessons on camera. Mm-hmm. You know, you move, for those who haven't seen it, which is most people at this point, and hopefully they will see it, but you move from scripture through the tradition. You offer a lesson on the history of feminism. You talk about some sort of difficult subjects for people about, you know, some people might not have an understanding or agree with, say, the all-male priesthood or calling God Father. Mm-hmm. And you talk directly to these sort of things. Each of the lessons, though, I found they're actually relatively brief, 5 to 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. And in that time, you know, the collection of these 21, you give us a broad but also a really detailed introduction, more than an introduction, to the development of this notion of Catholic feminism. So the first thing I wanted to ask you about, Abby, is if you can help us to understand what we mean by Catholic feminism, and maybe the way to do that is to ask you, what's the relationship between or the difference between secular feminism and Catholic feminism that you're trying to develop here?
Right. Yeah. I think a thoroughly Catholic or authentically Catholic feminism has to be Catholic from the ground up, right? Because there are different assumptions about reality, the human person, and the purpose of human existence. I think those are probably maybe the main three, although I would add freedom as well, that all of those, if you really dig down into the root, by and large, are very different from a Catholic perspective than a secular perspective. And so if you don't begin there, then, you know, if you just are kind of at the top and you're like, yeah, you know, I support women and freedom, then but you have to really define what you're talking about. Like, what is your understanding of reality? What is your understanding of the human person and what we're made for? And then if you have that framework in place, then that allows for a kind of feminism like John Paul II called for, a new kind of feminism that I think is really, it really needs to be articulated. That's one reason I'm so excited about this. You know, when Corinne first contacted me, I was really intimidated by this. You know, I'm a writer, I'm an academic, but I've never done like scripts, you know, and she was like, yeah, you can do like 500 words on, you know, women in scripture and history. And I was just like, what? Like, how is that possible? You know, that is such a challenge. But it was actually a really helpful exercise for me to distill those ideas into something that could be easily understood. And it helped me clarify my own thinking because I don't know. I think I probably told Corinne this, but even when she first contacted me, because of my own background, like converting to Catholicism in adulthood, and then not being sure about my relationship to feminism because I was a pretty secular feminist beforehand, I wasn't even really sure, like, am I still a feminist? Like, that was a question I was really wrestling with. So this program actually helped me personally clarify what I mean by feminism for myself and what that can look like if I'm a Catholic first and then a feminist second. So, yeah, it was really wonderful to work on.
This is such an important point you bring up, I think, building from the ground up, that even the examples you gave when we're talking about freedom or we're talking about womanhood, we could say those things in a public space and we could seem to be talking about the same thing, but we're not necessarily talking about the same thing. And if we're not, there's no constructive way forward, whether it's in a healthy disagreement or an argument or even in terms of like helping to develop, like you're saying, a truly Catholic feminism. So maybe we should just go to what might be very near the heart of the matter here, which is the concept of woman. So Corinne, you brought up before Prudence Allen's work, the concept of woman. And when we talk about woman, maybe over the decades or centuries, people may have had a certain settled understanding that we know what we're talking about, but that has been unsettled in recent years. So here's a question that I'll throw out there. Does a woman have to be female? Which is a question that might actually gain some traction in our modern world. Mm-hmm. So let me throw that out there and see what you all have to say.
Oh, yeah. Abby, you should definitely start. Bless us with your answer.
You know, it's this question, like the fact that you even have to ask that question.
Right.
That's really what pulled me back into to the feminist fray, where I was like, all right, you know, I can't piece out of feminism if all of a sudden the very definition of woman is being by and large discarded, even let alone questioned by our culture. So if you're coming from a Catholic perspective, the body matters, right? Catholicism is deeply incarnational. Catholicism is deeply sacramental. And Catholic anthropology considers a human being to be a unity of body and soul. So if you're starting from that premise, then you can't just discard sex. So a woman can't just be a kind of cultural apparatus or space or costume that anyone can kind of step into and appropriate. So from a Catholic perspective, what we think about as sex, femaleness, and then say gender, woman, those are connected. You can talk about them there. You make distinctions, right? Because there are females that aren't human, right? So female isn't specific enough. And woman captures the personal reality of a woman, right? So we need a word that captures a female human being who is a person, who's made in the image of God, and whose unique physiology has a sacramental meaning. And that word that we've used is woman. So if we jettison that word, then we can no longer name that reality that exists. So that's a problem from a Catholic perspective. I think any attempts to separate woman from female ultimately downplay the reality of sexual difference and the importance of the body, and certainly any kind of sacramental meaning to the body. So I just think from a Catholic perspective, doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Doesn't work on so many levels. I also don't think it works from a scientific perspective or just common sense and reason, but certainly not from a Catholic theological understanding.
This is Leonard DiLorenzo. You're listening to Church Life Today on the Spoke Street Media Network. I'm joined today by Corinne Starcinic and Abigail Favalli. Corinne is founder and director of The Catholic Woman, which just released a free online program called Cultivating Catholic Feminism. Abigail wrote and presents the 21 video lessons of that program, and otherwise Abigail is Dean of Humanities at George Fox University. So Corinne, I think I read in an interview that you may have offered somewhere, maybe for the Given Institute, you were talking about your understanding of a Catholic woman and how that itself has developed over your own life and I think part of your own religious conversion. Can you take us through that a little bit? Like, how has your understanding of what a Catholic woman is changed?
Yeah. So I grew up a very zealous evangelical and was very passionate about my faith and very passionate about the Catholic Church sort of being like the opposite of what I wanted to be as a Christian. Like, I just kind of saw it, or at least was taught, learned that the church was sort of the place like where women went to go to be oppressed in their faith. And it was sort of a legalistic sort of setting, I think, is how I viewed the church. And just through like a long series of events of just kind of sort of peeling that back and like learning more and more about the church and what the church actually teaches and believes and learning more about the history of the church, I just kind of fell in love with it and began to see like God drawing me to Catholicism. That said, I don't think like when I converted, I was 19 years old, it was 2014. I still had like those reservations about women and like what woman's role in the church would be. But like I knew enough at that point to feel like this was like a good decision and I'll kind of figure this out as I go. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I spent a lot of time online just like there were a lot of Catholic mom blogs and I was trying to find like single Catholic women blogs.
So many
and writing.
Catholic mom blogs. Yes.
Right. There's so many, especially
yes,
like
very
at
good
time.
Ones. Yes, yes. But many.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yes, many. And I was really trying to like get a sense of like, what am I like buying? What am I buying into here? Anyway, I'm like 19 years old. So, you know, And then I ended up studying theology at a Catholic university. And that's, you know, that's where I began to learn from John Paul II and find Sister Prudence Allen's writings. And I think like the year I like really dove into those writings was also the year that I was engaged. And I was encountering in my engagement, I think, like a lot of kind of frustrating messages about what it meant to be a Catholic wife and like what marriage would look like for a woman. And that's like sort of when I started to reckon with those reservations I had when I came to the church. Like, does the church actually just want me to stay at home and like just make babies? And like, is that the destiny for my life? And I think then finding John Paul II and his writings on women and just like even apologizing for sexism in the church and in the world, that was incredible. That was like, I remember sitting on my dorm room floor my senior year of college and just crying while reading that. I think that gave me so much hope about seeing more for what it meant to be a woman in the church or what it meant to like be a wife and to live out the feminine genius and all these things. So yeah. And then through my work at the Catholic Woman, I mean, like I've literally like seen, you know, sort of these concepts I learned in an academic settings, like really come to life. Like I'm seeing them lived out in so many different ways. The feminine genius lived out in so many different ways through women. So yeah, it's definitely evolved. It's been really beautiful and inspiring to me personally to see kind of like the diversity of women in the church through this mission.
It sounds like you created the thing you had been looking for and couldn't find, right?
Yeah, I think so.
You did. So people who come a generation after you aren't having a fruitless search. They can find what you have helped to curate for them and create. Yes.
You know, and I get asked pretty regularly too. I'll get emails from people who are like, I want a resource on Catholicism and feminism. Can you recommend some books or something? And now I have something to easily recommend that is really, it's so accessible and the production quality is amazing. I mean, I'm just, you know, Corinne and her husband especially have a really beautiful artistic vision. So it's beautiful. And that's the thing about the Catholic understanding of gender and feminism and womanhood is that it's beautiful. And this series actually captures that, which I absolutely love.
Yeah, the quality, I mentioned this before and you're bringing it up now, Abigail, that the quality of the production and the presentation of especially this program, Cultivating Catholic Feminism, but really all your work. But let's just talk about that program. I know a little bit about media production, been involved in some of it. This stuff is not cheap, right? And to create something at that level of production requires a tremendous amount of resources. And yet you're making this program, this treasure, available for free. How have you pulled that off?
This feels like a good time to give a huge shout out to my husband, Nick, who, Abby, I know you just mentioned. Nick is the, like, literally did all of the cinematography and editing on this.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. And
you married
and
then good choice.
Yeah. No, they're like a Catholic power couple.
That is total power couple.
Wow, that's great. I can't wait to tell.
I mean, I'm sure he has many other great qualities too, but this is a great quality.
Yes, he's taking our kids out right now and is like circling the block with them in our car. So anyway, Nick is incredibly talented. He's also my favorite person to work with. So this has been so fun to do the film production aspect of the program together. We've had also sponsorships for this have been incredible. Like the McGrath Institute was a sponsor for this program. And the Given Institute, if you are familiar with their work, they are basically a Catholic Women's Leadership Institute. They were like one of the first big funders for this project, which is huge. So that's been incredible. But that's a brief little snapshot, I think, at like how some of this has come together.
Yeah, I mean, I had that feeling because I've been into the program now and gone through some of it. I was sort of shocked, like, I can't believe I'm here for free. Like this is the sort of thing you usually have to pay a premium to get this kind of quality. So
Yes. And I feel like there are a lot of ministry resources that are available at a price. And like, I get that. It's not necessarily a critique of that, but this just feels so urgent. And so like, I just want everybody, like anyone who's interested in this, I want them to be able to like see it and access it. So we've been able to, as a team, like make this available for free. It's completely free. There are no catches. We're not selling your information to anyone. You know, it's just there.
It's just there. Abigail, when you were building the lessons for this series, what were some of your major sources that you were drawing from? Who, maybe especially if there are certain figures whose vision of Catholic womanhood played a huge role in the development of the content, who would some of them be?
I would say Edith Stein, for sure. I mean, I was familiar with her before I started working on this, but the more I read of hers, the more she makes these, she's a philosopher, right? So she makes these wonderful distinctions and is able to analyze categories in a way that actually is really helpful. So for example, one idea that I think of hers that's really helpful, she describes kind of three orders in terms of the relationship between men and women. There's the original order, right? And we see this depicted in Genesis 1 through 3 prior to the fall. And then there's the fallen order. And we see the consequences of that articulated in Genesis, especially this dynamic of conflict and domination between men and women. And then there's the redemptive order, which is open to us through grace. And one of the, I think, baseline criteria for feminism is this idea that there's something wrong in the world in the way women are treated, in the way men and women relate to one another. And all kinds of different feminisms give an account of what the problem is. But from a Catholic perspective, I think the problem is what Edith Stein articulates in that fallen order. Like there's this libido dominandi now, it's kind of unleashed in the world, right? And there's always this temptation, as long as we live in this fallen world, for the dynamics of love and communion and harmony and reciprocity to be distorted and twisted into conflict and domination. And so as Catholics, we have to, through grace, be constantly resisting that in order to enter that kind of redemptive order. And so for me, that's, I think, also a good way of thinking about why we need Catholic feminism, because you might have some listeners who are like, yeah, okay, like things are pretty great for women. Why do we even need to talk about Catholic feminism anymore? Why isn't just Catholic enough or something? But I think Catholic feminism articulates the need for some kind of movement that pays attention to the fallen dynamics between the sexes and how those play out in our world in different ways, but pervasive ways, right? So I would say, for example, the hypersexualization of women and girls, which is maybe worse than it's ever been, and sex trafficking and pornography, you know, all these things are still, even in our, you know, Western liberal democracy setting, a problem, and certainly elsewhere in the world as well. So there are ways in which those dynamics are always at work. And so we need some kind of movement that is particularly attentive to the dignity of women and protecting that dignity.
This is Leonard DiLorenzo. You're listening to Church Life Today on the Spoke Street Media Network. I'm joined today by Corinne Starcinic and Abigail Favale. Corinne, founder and executive director of The Catholic Woman, which just released a free online program called Cultivating Catholic Feminism. Abigail wrote and presents the 21 video lessons of that program. And otherwise, Abigail is the Dean of Humanities at George Fox University. Let me ask you guys something, since I have you here, about something I've been paying attention to a little bit recently. I've seen a few articles about, I'm going to get into a very specific thing, but I want to hear, I hope you don't mind, which is about the NCAA and sports. And maybe you've seen some of these things in like the Washington Post, specifically about the question of transgender athletes in collegiate sports. The issues here seem to be coming to a head relative to athletes who are biological males who are now competing in women's sports. There's this interesting debate that's going on now about, again, like we were talking about before, who is a woman? What is a woman? And when you have a certain classification or categorization for a type of competition in sports, who gets to compete and whose equity is being preserved by which decisions you make? So I want to bring this up here because I imagine you think about things like this. And so either of you, as you think about an issue like that, that seems like one of the venues where the question of who is a woman, what is a woman, is getting pressed. How do you think about that? And what do you see at stake in debates like these?
Well, I think what's at stake, I guess, is the existence of female sports, honestly. So the body is real. Sexual difference is real. We are a sexually dimorphic species. There are physiological realities that exist and differences, distinctions, asymmetries between males and females of the human species. And if we pretend those don't exist, then and allow this kind of, I guess, if we allow woman to be kind of this space that anyone can step into, then that really paves the way for male athletes to compete against female athletes and always win, right? Mm. I mean, it's it's just a reality. And I think it's really tragic because within the human female species, there are exemplars of athleticism. And we live in a culture in America where that athleticism has been able to flourish and thrive, and women have been able to develop their athletic abilities. And I think that's fantastic. But even the best female athletes will be outclassed by even some of the mediocre male competitors, and certainly by some of the top competitors.
So especially if you have someone, sports, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So if you have someone who's already competing at the collegiate level as a male, so they're already in this kind of upper class of athleticism on the male side, and they just switch to competing in the female class, then that prevents the female athleticism from being able to compete.
Yeah.
And to be displayed. And so I think that's a huge problem and a huge tragedy. So that's kind of what is at stake.
Yeah.
This is something like I love about this program, and that has been so helpful for me mm-hmm. personally, is defining femininity. There have been like lots of projects devoted to trying to teach women how to like, quote unquote, like embrace your femininity. And often what that looks like is adapting to a specific lifestyle or looking a certain way and like kind of, you know, adapting these qualities that we tend to associate with the feminine culturally in America. But with this program, something that I think is so important to me personally too, just Abby, you really like help explain like what femininity is and that it's not sort of like on this, I'm going to like lose the terminology here, but on like sort of like this scale where like masculinity is on the other end, it's not the opposite of masculinity. It's an analogous way of being. And it's essentially accounts for the fact that like femininity is the way women live out their sex. It's the way I live out my sex. And that can look so different for so many different women. And I think there's just such a freedom within that. And Abby, I would love for you, I think, to probably like flesh this out a little bit more than I am right now, because I think you articulated so well within the program. But I think really working on this program, being the first student of this program, like I truly believe like God has just helped me get to the point where I feel like I can sort of let go of this internalized shame I have about my female body, about the fact that I have the capacity to bear life. And, you know, I think that's like, it's such a systematized thing. Like, I think like truly like a lot of women today, at least in the context I grew up in, you know, I've been taught to sort of see my ability to carry life as extra baggage and as something like that I have to prove myself over because it's a burden to society that I can get pregnant and that I bleed every month and need things for that. And yeah, I don't know, this program really has given me this sense of freedom about embracing my femininity and embracing my body and seeing it as a gift from God and not sort of this thing to be so ashamed of. That's my sort of personal experience.
Yeah, I think you put that so well. And that's even just hearing that that's been the effect of this program in your own life is so, I don't know, that really moves me because I think you're right. I think our culture sees women's capacity to bear life as a threat, as something to be tightly controlled. And we internalize that, right? And I think we're expected to kind of be at war with our bodies and our capacity to bear life from the time we hit puberty.
Yes.
And that's one of the things I think a Catholic understanding of feminism can correct, because it has such
yes.
a beautiful view of the dignity of the human person and especially the body. And yeah, I think you're exactly right to the point you were making that if a woman isn't defined by her sexed body, then the only thing that's left to define what a woman is are these really regressive and kind of caricature stereotypes,
yes.
right? So, oh, a woman is someone who has longer hair and wears a dress or makeup, you know, and that's silly. So what about all the female human beings who don't look like that, right? Are they suddenly not women? So to define a woman by that kind of artifice, I think is a really big problem. And I really hope that we're going to see some kind of correction in our culture back toward reason. But certainly as Catholics, I'm hoping this program can help people, men and women, but certainly women, young women, to understand their own dignity and to understand that what it looks like to be a Catholic woman is as varied as the number of Catholic women there are. And the Catholic woman in general has that vision, right? There's no cookie cutter way to be a Catholic woman, but to be what femininity is your, it's your sex lived out. It's the kind of expression in the world of being a human female. And that's from John Paul II. That's kind of his, the way he uses masculinity and femininity is this kind of embodied, enacted way of being female or male in the world as a person. So it's the person that brings the masculine or feminine character to action. It's not as if masculinity and femininity are these kind of categories that, you know, are stereotypes. And then when I'm changing a diaper, suddenly I'm being feminine. And when I'm like jumping my truck, you know, because the battery died, like I was doing earlier today, I'm like, oh, I'm being masculine right now, right? Like both of those are feminine actions. Like both of those are expressions of my femininity. And that's really freeing. Like that's really freeing. Once you root what a woman is in the body rather than in stereotypes, it's really freeing. And you see that, I think, in the communion of the saints. If you look at the different yes. kinds of men and women, who the church celebrates, like they're a motley crew, you know, they're really different. you have these very like gentle, you know, St. Francis de Sales, you've got like Joan of Arc, you've got St. Hildegard. I mean, you don't need to live in this kind of stereotypical box as a Catholic. And that's really freeing and wonderful.
You know, I think that would be an opportunity, Corinne, if you don't mind telling us a little bit about, maybe as we draw to a close here, these stories of women that yes. you've included in the program. So Abigail teaches so superbly some of the things that she's sharing with us here.
Yes.
But then the teaching, what the message is also being illustrated in the testimonies of, yep. I think it's five very different women who are talking about their femininity, the expression of their sex lived out. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah. So there are five of these. They're about 7 minutes long, mini documentaries. The first one that appears in the program is with Samantha Pavlak, who is the founder of Femme Catholic. And she's been very much thinking about what a Catholic feminism looks like mm-hmm. and what it means. And she kind of shares her story about, you know, being really drawn to feminism, but also being a devout Catholic and trying to kind of see how these two things, like how does Catholicism engage with feminism? And she shares that through her story of like just motherhood and also being like a full-time working mother and the different things she's been doing to sort of grapple with these questions. Then we have our video with Shannon Ochoa, who is one of the co-founders of Eden Invitation, if anyone is familiar with their work. I love her story. I don't really want to spoil it, but the start of her video is like probably my favorite intro into a video out of all five of them. It's really fun. And Shannon's video is sort of about what we were just talking about yeah. with, as a child, like just not feeling like she fits like sort of this feminine mold that many of us are used to. And growing to understand what spiritual maternity looks like and understanding how to live that out in her life. It's fun. I love her interview. I think she definitely gets into the stuff we were just talking about. And then Justina Kopp is a mother of quadruplets from the Twin Cities. Mm. And she also just joined our board on the Catholic Woman. And her video is about living Eucharistically. One of the themes that Abby talks about in the program is this idea of in order to be a Catholic feminist, we must have our lives like centered on the Eucharist. And her video really gets into that. I don't want to spoil anything there. Yeah, I don't really want to spoil any of these.
No,
videos.
You're giving us appropriate teasers.
And then Krista Corbello's video is called The Culture of Life. And it's about, she's been a pro-life activist. She's the board president of Rehumanize International, if you're familiar with their work. Mm-hmm. And her video is basically about, okay, I'm like advocating for pro-life national policies. Am I actually like living this out personally? Like, am I actually doing that? And then we have Sister Josephine Garrett's video on, which is called The Unruly Word of God. And it is about celibacy and living out femininity and the need for the feminine genius as a religious sister.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Oh, it's just excellent. So, hopefully now folks who are listening have, I imagine they do have some interest in at least finding out a little bit more about this. Where can they find the Catholic Woman and especially Cultivating Catholic Feminism?
Yep, thecatholicwoman.com and cultivatingcatholicfeminism.com or just catholicfeminism.com works too.
Or you just Google these things, people, and you find them. They come up, right? And
they're you got catholicfeminism.com?
We did.
Nice job. Really that's awesome. That's great.
I was really surprised.
And you can find, if you want to follow up on some of Abigail Favalli's work, as was mentioned here, she's written quite frequently for the Church Life Journal and elsewhere. Her first published book is Into the Deep, which I highly recommend. You have another book coming out soon, right, Abigail?
Can you tell us about that briefly?
It went to the printer.
Yeah. Great. But those darn supply chain problems. I don't know. It'll still be a couple months. But it's called The Genesis of Gender, a Christian Theory.
And the Genesis it's being published of Gender.
By Ignatius. Yeah. And it's like a deeper dive in a lot of this stuff. So if you liked anything I had to say today, you'll probably enjoy reading that.
Or if you didn't like it, you'll like it in the book.
If you didn't like it now,
you'll love it in the book. It's what, you know, of course they liked it. So, well, thank you to the both of you for not only this time here with us today, but especially for this incredible work and for this credible treasure that you're giving over to people. And I hope that many, many people take up the invitation to follow and to take up what you're giving us. So thank you both very much.
Thanks, Lenny.
And thanks to all of you for joining us on Church Life Today.
Church Life Today is a production of Spoke Street Media and the McGrath Institute for Church Life at the University of Notre Dame, and is brought to you in part by Notre Dame FCU and our listeners.
This show is a production of the Spoke Street Media Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, visit SpokeStreet.com.